Picture this. You sit down at your desk, coffee in hand. You've got like this massive deadline looming over you, but you're not sweating it because you've got your favorite AI coding assistant fired up.
Right, the trusty co-pilot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you prompt it to refactor a complex module. And this is a task that usually takes hours, right? You hit enter, but instead of that beautiful cascade of generated code, you just get an error message, a limit reached, a sudden paywall.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The digital doors, for all intents and purposes, are just locked.
It is the modern developer's absolute nightmare. And the truly frightening part is how fast it went from this hypothetical fear to just a widespread reality for everyone.
Completely. And welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at a highly detailed report by PopularAtools.ai covering what can really only be described as the AI pricing crisis of April 2026.
Yeah, crisis is definitely the right word for it.
For sure. So our mission today is to figure out what actually happened when heavyweights like GitHub and Anthropic seemingly panicked and just changed the rules of the game overnight. We're going to expose the truly brutal, unsustainable economics driving these shifts.
Which are wild, by the way.
Absolutely wild. And most importantly, we're going to explore how you, the listener, can protect your own workflows before you get completely priced out.
It is such a crucial time to look at this because what we're observing right now, it isn't a temporary tech glitch.
Right.
It's not a server outage. It is a very deliberate economic pivot. I mean, the models themselves are getting exponentially better, but that capability is actually accelerating the financial problem.
Yeah.
The era of abundant, incredibly cheap AI is just abruptly ending, and the industry is waking up to a very, very harsh financial reality.
Okay, let's unpack this because massive economic shifts usually have a flashpoint, right? A moment where the tension just finally snaps. And according to the PopularAtools report, this all happened in this frantic 48-hour window where the two biggest players in the space just blinked.
Yeah, we should definitely look at GitHub Copilot first, because their announcement really set the tone for the entire week. I mean, on April 20th, 2026, the structure of developer tools fundamentally shifted.
Yeah, so GitHub's VP of product, Joe Binder, drops an announcement that effectively freezes new signups for their core premium tiers. Copilot Pro, the $10 a month plan, frozen. The Pro Plus tier at $39 a month, frozen. Even their student plans. The free tier was kept open, but if you wanted the heavy-hitting features, you know, the agent coding, the premium frontier models, unlimited completions, you simply couldn't get in.
Right, and the underlying service architecture was completely overhauled. They announced a shift coming June 1st to a token-based system.
The GitHub AI credits, right?
Exactly, GitHub AI credits,
Yeah.
moving entirely away from their old flat rate system. And for existing Pro Plus users, they actually started pulling models like Opus 4.5 and 4.6 were completely removed from Pro Plus.
Wow.
Yeah, and Opus 4.7, which used to be accessible, now explicitly requires that highest $39 tier.
It honestly feels like signing up for an all-you-can-eat buffet and then the restaurant suddenly realizes you're bringing Tupperware and eating literally nothing but the expensive Wagyu beef.
That is a perfect
Oh,
analogy.
right? So they just start locking the doors. But I have to push back a little here. These are some of the smartest tech companies in the world.
Sure.
And cloud computing is built on economies of scale. Shouldn't millions down, like the same way AWS storage gets cheaper the more people use it, why did the math invert on them so violently?
Well, that is the core paradox of generative AI right now. To understand why scale didn't lower costs, you have to look at how developer behavior shifted.
Okay.
Specifically, the move from simple autocomplete to agentic workflows. When Copilot first launched, it was lightweight. You type a line, it suggests the next.
Very simple.
But agentic coding isn't an entirely different beast. You aren't just asking for a line of code. You are asking the AI to act as an autonomous agent. It is opening files. It's reading the entire code base, making a plan, writing code, checking its own work.
And just iterating in these continuous loops.
Exactly. And every time it loops, it has to remember what it just did.
Oh, right. Because it doesn't actually have a memory.
That's the mechanical problem right there.
Yeah.
Unlike a normal computer program that can just look at a saved file on a hard drive, a large language model essentially has no memory from one second to the next.
That's crazy to think about.
It is. Every single time it loops to check its work, or write the next function, it has to reread the entire conversation from scratch.
Wow.
It's like having a brilliant assistant who gets amnesia every 5 seconds, so you have to hand them the whole 100-page manual again before they can answer your next question.
That sounds incredibly inefficient.
It is incredibly computationally expensive. GitHub explicitly stated in their announcement that these looping workflows have fundamentally changed compute demands. They admitted it's now completely common for just a handful of user requests to incur compute costs that exceed the entire monthly plan price.
Wow. So GitHub's problem was just sheer volume of compute colliding with the physical limits of the hardware.
Yeah.
But over at Anthropic, their crisis during this same 48-hour window wasn't just about server load. It was like a crisis of trust. They essentially try to hide the math.
Oh, absolutely. Anthropic's handling of the situation was a case study in how not to manage a developer community.
Right as GitHub is freezing signups, Anthropic quietly and, I mean, without a single blog post or email, updates their pricing page.
Yep.
They took Claude Code, which was arguably the most powerful tool in their $20 a month pro plan, and moved it exclusively to their max plan, which costs over $100 a month.
Just a sudden, silent, 5x price increase on the tool that developers were relying on the most.
And the internet reacted exactly how you'd expect. Reddit and X completely erupted.
Oh, it was a meltdown.
Yeah. Developers who had built their entire weekly workflow around this tool were just furious. So Anthropic goes into total crisis PR mode. Their head of growth, Amol Avisar, scrambles onto social media and claims this was just a small test on approximately 2% of new prosumer signups.
Right, which is the classic rollback strategy when a company gets caught testing the waters for a massive price hike.
Totally.
So they reverted the pricing page, and Claude Code officially came back to the $20 pro plan. But the damage to their credibility was already done.
Yeah, users saw the man behind the curtain.
Exactly. They know exactly where the pricing strategy is inevitably heading.
And the reality on the ground is that even though they rolled back the public pricing page, the experience for pro users has been completely nerfed anyway.
Oh, totally.
The popular A-Tools piece details what users are actually experiencing, and it is a miserable environment. You get 30 to 60 minutes of fluid Claude Code use, and then you are suddenly hit with a 3 to 4 hour cooldown period.
Which completely shatters the flow state of programming. I mean, if you're deeply immersed in debugging a complex architecture, a 4 hour forced break means you lose all mental context.
It's a massive productivity killer. And the restrictions just keep piling up. Users are reporting weekly hidden caps where they get entirely locked out by day 4 of the week.
Yep.
There is massive peak throttling happening between 5 a.m. and 11 a.m. Pacific time.
And they're forcing users off the highly capable Opus models, which apparently burn in queue like crazy.
Yeah.
And pushing them onto the faster but much lower quality Sonnet models.
And what if you rely on third-party integration? Like, as of early April, tools like Cursor and Windsurf were abruptly cut off from using subscription authentication.
Right. You are forced onto metered API billing if you want to use them. It's essentially a soft eviction.
A soft eviction. I like that term.
Yeah. They haven't officially removed the tool from the $20 tier, mostly because of the PR backlash.
Yeah.
But they've made it so restricted and unpredictable that it's fundamentally unusable for serious professional work.
There's this one anecdote in the report that perfectly captures how disastrous this is for businesses. Bello, an Argentine finance app, had their entire 60-person engineering team locked out of Claude Code by an automated abuse detection system.
60 people, just locked out.
Yeah. And it turned out to be a false positive. But for that entire period, 60 highly paid developers couldn't do their jobs because a black box algorithm decided they were consuming too much compute.
Which perfectly illustrates the fragility of relying on a subsidized subscription model for your core infrastructure.
Yeah.
You don't actually own your workflow.
No, you don't.
You're just renting access to it until a landlord decides the rent is too low.
Ooh, that's a scary thought. Okay, let's actually look at the unit economics driving all this panic. We've talked about the business outcome, but I want to dive into the technical mechanism. The report breaks down the cost of tokens, but for people who don't spend their days staring at API billing dashboards, what actually is a token?
Right. So a token is essentially the fundamental unit of data and AI processes. Think of it like a piece of a word, roughly a syllable.
Okay, a syllable.
Yeah. So when you send a prompt to an AI, it breaks your text down into these tokens. And crucially, the AI providers charge you for every single token it has to read. Those are input tokens.
Right.
And every token it writes, those are output tokens.
And the AI charges you to read every single syllable of your code base before it writes a single new one.
Exactly.
The report highlights a study from Concordia University looking specifically at multi-agent coding workflows. They found that input tokens account for 53.9% of total consumption in these environments.
What's fascinating here is how that completely flips the traditional software cost model.
How so?
Well, Anthropic charges 5 times more for output tokens than they do for input tokens. They expect the generation to be the expensive part. But because of that amnesia problem we discussed earlier, where the AI has to reread the entire code base history on every single loop, the sheer volume of input tokens just overwhelms the system.
So it's spending the vast majority of its incredibly expensive time just rereading the context you provided 10 seconds ago.
Exactly. And that ingestion process, which the industry calls inference, the actual physical act of the AI computing and generating an answer, it requires immense processing power.
Right.
If we look at the financial reporting, specifically the data sourced from Where's Your Ed At in the popular A-Tools article, the reality of Anthropic's balance sheet is staggering.
Let's hear it.
For every single dollar Anthropic brings in as revenue, they are spending between $8 and $13.50.
Wait. So they are losing money on almost every single query.
Yes.
The more their users use the product, the faster they bleed cash.
Exactly. The tech press loves to quote their $14 to $20 billion annual recurring revenue.
Yeah.
But the report exposes that as pure marketing spin.
Oh, of course it is.
Right. Their actual cumulative revenue through March 2026 was just over $5 billion total. Compare that to their training and inference costs, which have already exceeded $10 billion.
Wow. And when you switch away from the flat rate subscriptions and look at raw API usage, you see exactly how fast that cash burns. Like, the report tells this cautionary tale of a developer named Jenny Yang. She was using Claude Code via the API and got hit with a $1,600 bill in just 2 months.
Just for individual developer assistance.
Right. Because the sheer volume of tokens adds up so incredibly fast in an agentic loop. People really don't realize the conversion rate.
No, they don't.
Like, the report points out that uploading a standard 51-page PDF is about 119,000 tokens just to process it once.
Yep.
You drop in a standard image for the AI to analyze, that's another 550 tokens. If you're doing that repeatedly, like letting an agentic loop run 50 times to debug a visual element, you're quite literally lighting money on fire.
You really are. And this raises an important question about the physical infrastructure supporting all this. Why are those tokens so expensive to compute in the first place?
Right. Why are they?
It comes down to a brutal hardware squeeze. The physical silicon required for AI inference is facing a massive supply and demand crisis. The report notes that rental prices for NVIDIA Blackwell GPUs, which are like the gold standard chips for this work, they spiked 48% in just 2 months.
That is insane.
Yeah. By early April 2026, it was costing $4.08 per hour just to rent a single GPU in the cloud.
And the major cloud providers are locking things down too. CoreWeave, which is a massive cloud provider specifically for AI workloads, they extended their minimum contract terms from 1 year to 3 years.
You can't even get short-term compute anymore.
Exactly. Even OpenAI's own CFO openly admitted they're having to make very tough product trade-offs simply because they do not have enough physical compute available.
It is hitting every tier of the industry. I mean, even Anthropic's massive enterprise customers, who are already paying huge monthly flat fees for Claude Enterprise, are now getting charged per token fees on top of their flat rate.
Just piling it on.
Yeah, and Anthropic's official excuse was that workloads are shifting from seat-bound productivity to agentic use, which is essentially corporate speak for, you guys are using the AI to do too much actual work and our servers are melting.
Which brings up the most baffling part of this entire situation for me.
What's that?
If inference is so insanely expensive and they are losing up to $13 for every dollar they make, why on earth would these companies launch with such massive losses in the first place? Like, why offer a $20 flat rate plan if it costs you $260 in server time to service that power user?
Well, because they aren't just selling a software product. They're running a very specific, historically proven business strategy designed to capture an entire market before worrying about profitability.
Oh, here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because if you've been paying attention to the tech sector over the last decade, this entire crisis is just a rerun.
Exactly.
It is the exact same venture capital subsidy playbook we've seen disrupt industry after industry. Let's look at Netflix. They started at $8 a month. No ads, access to virtually every movie and show ever made. It was a massive loss leader today. It's $23 a month. The catalog is fragmented across 10 different services, and you're constantly being upsold. Or look at Uber.
Oh, Uber's the perfect example.
Right. When Uber launched, they deliberately undercut taxi prices to the point where they were losing billions of dollars a year. They subsidized your cheap ride home with venture capital money to kill the taxi industry.
And it worked.
It totally worked. Now the VC money is gone, the taxis are gone, and Uber costs the same, if not more, than a cab used to. DoorDash did the exact same thing with food delivery.
The pattern is identical. You raise billions in capital, offer unsustainably low prices to build massive user dependency, and then, once the users are locked into your ecosystem and the competitors are starved out, you pull the rug and jack up the rates to actual market value.
But the switching costs for AI make this so much worse.
No, absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's terrifying.
Like, I look at AI coding assistants like a cognitive exoskeleton. If Uber gets too expensive, you just take the bus. Your legs still work.
Right.
But if you've relied on an AI to write your complex logic for 2 years, taking away that AI is like taking away an exoskeleton you've forgotten how to walk without. The muscle atrophy is what makes this trap so dangerous.
Yeah.
If your fundamental coding skills have degraded because the AI has been doing the heavy lifting, you can't just stop using it.
Your professional livelihood is entirely tethered to a tool that is mathematically guaranteed to get more expensive. I mean, the venture capitalist Tomas Tunguz recently declared that the age of abundant AI is over, and it will remain so for years.
Yeah.
He points out that this new scarcity era is going to be defined by inflationary pricing and available but slow access. The macro numbers he cites in the report are terrifying.
Let's hear them.
There's a combined AI market cap right now of $23 trillion. But the actual realized profits of the AI industry, only $420 billion.
That is a massive gap.
It's a 55-to-1 ratio between what investors think AI is worth and what it actually earns. That gap is a financial black hole, and the only way to fill it is by extracting more revenue from the end user.
Okay, I know we've painted a pretty bleak macroeconomic picture here.
It's a little dark.
Yeah, a little bit. But I want to talk directly to you, the listener, because this deep dive isn't just about corporate doom and gloom. The popular A-Tools report actually outlines actionable, highly technical strategies that developers can use right now to insulate themselves from these massive price hikes.
We need some good news.
Right. Let's dig into the developer survival guide.
It is entirely possible to navigate this transition, but it requires a fundamental shift in how you treat your tools. You have to stop treating AI compute as an infinite resource.
First up, the immediate tactical fixes. You have to master your token economics. We talked earlier about how expensive input tokens are because of that amnesia effect. Well, the report highlights a mechanism called cash reads that can save you 90% of your input costs.
90% is huge.
Right. So how does caching actually work to bypass the amnesia problem?
It's quite elegant, actually. Instead of forcing the AI to reread your massive code base every single time you ask a question, prompt caching essentially allows the system to hold a compressed, pre-computed version of your context in its short-term memory for a set period.
Okay.
It's like putting a highly detailed bookmark in that massive manual we talked about earlier. The AI doesn't have to read the whole book. It just jumps to the bookmark. It drastically reduces the compute required.
So developers need to structure their workflows to take advantage of this. Stop needlessly uploading a 50-page PDF or attaching your entire repository to every single prompt.
Be surgical about what context you provide.
Exactly. And the second immediate fix is reconsidering how you pay. The subscription trap is what gets you locked into these sudden rule changes.
Right. Moving to a pay-as-you-go API access model requires a bit more technical setup, but it prevents you from being at the mercy of a company that decides to change its terms of service at 2 a.m.
Seriously.
When you use the API, you aren't bound by undocumented rate limits or hidden user caps. You simply pay the utility bill for the exact tokens you consume.
Plus, with the API, you aren't paying for the hidden system prompts that the consumer wrappers inject into your queries.
Oh, those invisible safety rails that consume tokens behind the scenes.
Right, those add up. Popular A-Tools actually provides an LLM cost calculator specifically to help you compare these API rates across different models.
That's a great tool.
But beyond the immediate fixes, what are the long-term strategic moves?
The most critical strategic move is to diversify your toolset and go local. Vendor lock-in is exactly what GitHub and Anthropic are banking on to make their price hike stick. You should absolutely utilize the free tiers while they exist, but you need to pair them with open source local models.
We're talking about models like Hermes 4 or Gemma 4.
Exactly.
But let's be real about the hardware for a second. A lot of developers think you need a massive $10,000 server rig to run these local models. Is that actually true in 2026?
Not anymore, and that's the real silver lining here.
Yeah.
Because of advancements in unified memory architecture, like what you see in Apple's M-series chips or even just the modern consumer gaming GPU, you can run incredibly capable 7 billion or 8 billion parameter models entirely locally on a standard developer laptop.
That's amazing.
You don't need a data center.
And the beauty of a local model is that the per token cost is exactly zero. You pay for the electricity to run your laptop, and that's it. Now, will a local Gemma 4 model match the high-end complex reasoning of Anthropic's Opus? No. But for routine, everyday coding tasks, writing boilerplate, or simple refactoring, they are more than adequate.
Oh, definitely.
Save the highly expensive cloud AI for the genuinely hard architectural problems.
That distinction is vital, and it leads to the final, most fundamental piece of advice in the entire report, which is a philosophical shift. You have to maintain your foundational engineering skills.
You can't just forget how to code.
Exactly. You have to deeply understand the code the AI is writing for you. AI must be utilized as an accelerator of your existing knowledge, not a replacement for your understanding.
So what does this all mean for the future? Are we just going to be priced out of the best AI entirely? Is frontier agentic coding only going to be accessible to massive enterprise corporations with bottomless budgets?
Well, the short-term outlook is undeniably going to be bumpy.
Yeah.
The transition from venture-subsidized pricing to actual market rate pricing always causes friction. You should expect to see aggressive tiering, probably 4 to 5 distinct pricing tiers from every major provider, with the truly cutting-edge models locked behind very high paywalls.
Makes sense.
Usage-based pricing, like GitHub's AI credits, will become the absolute industry standard, and you'll see a lot of enterprise pushback, where mid-sized companies refuse to absorb a 5x price increase and start investing heavily in hosting their own open-source solutions.
But there is a light at the end of the tunnel long-term.
There is. Long-term, the economics of compute will stabilize. The report actually predicts that the average cost per token will drop 90% by 2030.
90%.
Yeah. This will be driven by more efficient hardware architectures coming online and, crucially, fierce competition from open-source initiatives backed by giants like Meta and Google.
That's reassuring.
Every single time Anthropic or GitHub raises prices, it acts as a massive marketing campaign for those open source alternatives. The pain we are feeling right now is just the turbulence of a market finding its true value.
The turbulence of a market finding its true value, it's a painful adjustment, but understanding the mechanics behind it makes it much easier to navigate. Thank you for breaking all of this down and helping us get past the PR spin.
Anytime. It's an essential conversation to have. Developers really need to know exactly what they're building their workflows on top of.
Absolutely. And to you listening, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. We talked about that cognitive exoskeleton earlier.
Yeah.
Think about the project you're working on right now, the one open on your monitor.
Right.
If your favorite AI provider suddenly quadrupled their prices tomorrow and you had absolutely no choice but to cancel your subscription, could you still build it? Could you open up a blank file and write the core logic yourself? Or has the tool quietly, without you even noticing, become the developer? Keep building, keep learning, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.